Shalom and welcome to Tehillim Yomi. Today we learn Psalm 122. Shir HaMa'alot of David, Samachti Be'omrim Li Beit Adonai Melech. Song of Ma'alot of David, I was so glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Omdot Hayu Ragleinu B'Sha'arayich Yerushalayim, our feet shall stand inside your gates, Jerusalem. Yerushalayim HaBnuya Ki'ir She'chubra La'yachdav. Jerusalem is built, a city which is united or bound firmly together. Shasham alu shiftatim shiftaya idut Israel adot l'shem Adonai. For there the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, as was decreed for Israel, to give thanks to the name of the Lord. Kishama yashvu kisot l'mishpat kisot l'beit David. For thrones of judgment were set there, thrones of the house of David. Shalu shlomi yerushalayim yishlau ayab avayich. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love you shall prosper. Peace be within your walls and prosperity within your palaces. For my brothers and my friends, I will say peace be with you. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your God. Over 3,000 years ago, King David conquered the land of the Yebusim, which is Jerusalem, and prepared the way for his son to build the house of God on its mountain. With the destruction of the second temple and the exile, the Israelites lost sovereignty over Jerusalem until 1967. At the close of the Six-Day War, the radio sent a message which reverberated throughout the world. Habar Habayit Bi'adenu, Har Habayit Bi'adenu. The Temple Mount is in our hands. A moment of silence, and then the radio anchor recited Psalm 122. I rejoice when they said to me, we are going to the house of the Lord. The significance of the recitation is great in that it teaches us that for even from the most secular perspective, the city of Jerusalem is tied up in the ancient biblical tradition. Jerusalem, historically, has played a central role in the dream of unification for all Jews from all over the land. Let's break down this psalm into the three components. I've discussed in the previous lectures the title Shir HaMa'alot, but I will note one interpretation of this phrase. Ma'alot can be defined as rising to greater heights, and it might refer to a poetic style employed by the psalmist, which seeks to build the stanzas atop one another. The final words act as the ultimate ma'ala, the height, the apex, where the idea of the psalm comes to a climax. Verses 1 and 2 inaugurate the psalm with a call of joy and freedom at the notion of commencing the journey to the house of God. This idea is illuminated when we read of the special connection King David had with Jerusalem and with the house of God. Second book of Samuel, chapter 6, we read of how excited he was when he returned the Ark of God to Jerusalem. David went and brought up the Ark to God, of God. When the bearers of the Ark of the Lord had moved forward six paces, he sacrificed an ox, and David whirled with all his might before the Lord. The emphasis in verse 1 on the house of God lies in his plea to God to build the Beit HaMikdash. In chapter 7 of the second book of Samuel, we read, when the king was settled in his palace and the Lord granted him safety from all the enemies around him, the king said to the prophet Nathan, here I am dwelling in the house of cedar, while the ark of the Lord abides in the tent. Nathan said to the king, go, and whatever you do, God will be with you. It's only afterwards that Nathan receives a prophecy that David will not build the house of the Lord, but rather his son Shlomo will do it. Interestingly, the prophecy does not relate in Samuel the reason that David was not allowed to choose to build this house. However, in Divrei HaYamim, in Chronicles, God does offer an explanation. For you have shed much blood on the earth in my sight. One can imagine the sadness and the tension King David must have felt when he was told that he couldn't build the Beit HaMikdash because he fought the battles of the Lord. Yet he accepts his position with humility, praising God for all he has received. In a truly remarkable display of faith in God, David concludes his speech with these words, and now, O Lord God, you are God, and your words will surely come true, and you have made this gracious promise to your servant. Be pleased, therefore, to bless your servant's house, that it abide before you forever, for you, O Lord God, have spoken. The call of joy and the description of the initial steps of the gates of Jerusalem represent the first level of the pyramid of praise embodied in the psalm. From here, we turn to the nature of the city and its characteristics. The second segment of the psalm, verses 3 to 5, display Jerusalem as the meeting place for all Israel. In Ezra comments on verse 3, how during the three pilgrimage festivals, Jerusalem embodied the unifying power of the nation. Thus the words, Shechubra la'yachdav, it became connected and united together. In verses 4 and 5, in addition to the important social and religious implication, it also acts as the national juridical center for Israel, to which, as the verse says, there the thrones of judgment stood, thrones of the house of David. It's important to note that the religious and national significance relate to the entire people. with the implicit assumption that all the Israelites would make the journey to Jerusalem at certain times to bind the nation together socially and religiously. Sforno, who sets up our psalm in the period of Geula and redemption, comments how the judges would sit up there to judge the nations of the world, as it says in the prophecy in Ovadia, "Va'alu Moshiim b'har Tzion lishpot et har Esav." The rulers of Zion would then judge the mountain of Esav. Malbim, however, considers it having a more local message, a place where Torah will be taught and sent out throughout all of Israel. The final ma'alah relates not to the joy of it being built, nor to the function it holds on specific levels, but to the essence of the city and what it ultimately stands for. Sha'alu shlom Yishalayim, Yishlayu ohavayich. Pray and ask for the people of Jerusalem, and Jerusalem, pray for the peace of your loved ones, or the loved ones who pray for Jerusalem will succeed. A reciprocal relationship of peace exists between Jerusalem and its people. The author poetically turns to Jerusalem to respond in kind to the peace offered by the Israelites as they return to their land throughout Israel. The Midrash Yalkut Shemoni notes on our daily prayer, Shemoneh Esrei, had a blessing on Jerusalem, which comes directly after the blessing on the Tzaddikim, the righteous. Why does one follow the other? It bases the answer on our last verse in the psalm. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, as already the righteous are asking for peace for it from God. The last two verses serve to summarize the theme of the psalm as a whole. The symmetry of Laman Achai V'Re'ai, for the sake of my brothers and friends, and Laman Beit Hashem Eloheinu, for the sake of the house of the Lord, reflects the intrinsic connection that the Beit HaMikdash has with the brothers and the friends, the nation of Israel. They serve God through that house. The two together, the Beit Hashem and the Achai V'Re'ai, speak one word, a word of peace.